Hello and welcome to the Undercut Podcast. I'm your host this evening, Jesse Billington, and we're back to preview the fifth round of the 2025 Formula One season. Is that correct? Yes, it is. How does it feel like? It feels like it's been more than five rounds. Anyway, it's round five. It's the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. To do this, I'm joined by Miss Ellie Mae Taylor. How are you this evening?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Not too bad. I've nearly finished going through the some 5,000 photographs I took at Goodwood Members Meeting, and we got off to press all right on Monday, and we're going off to press again tomorrow because somehow we've ended up with a 3-day working week because it is Easter and there are chocolate eggs to be eaten and bank holidays to be taken, which means we've just got to be done early.
Can't wait for 2 4-day weeks.
It's going to be.
No, I need it.
Also hell, yeah.
Yeah, maybe hell for you, but because obviously you still have to get print out whilst...
Your job is so time-sensitive.
Well, mine's time-sensitive and it has to be done on the day.
Yeah. But if you're not working on that day, it doesn't have to be done on that day, whereas every Wednesday I've got to have a sort of 60 pages magazine on a shop shelf. So, time does not wait for one magazine, unfortunately. But hey, that's the fun of being a journalist. Speaking of being a journalist, we ought to do some news, and we'll jump in with some news that I actually know to be correct, which is, or at least potentially correct, which is that Imola might not be long for Formula One. Talks are ongoing about Imola being dropped from the F1 calendar. No word on what its replacement might be, but it's... As much as I like Imola and I like the history attached to it, and I think that it is a very fun and very technical circuit that demands a lot from the drivers, it's a sound drop because it's just physically too small for the current cars. You can barely go two cars wide at most parts of it, and the next gen isn't small enough to really exploit it to its full either. Plus the paddock is aging, it's not up to snuff, nor are there enough really grandstands to support the growing circus of Formula One. So I can't remember when its contract is up, but I know that there are talks underway at the moment for Formula One to not return, essentially.
I mean, I agree, and as well, you've got to think now with, because it came back obviously as a result of COVID.
Yeah, we just needed somewhere to go.
We needed somewhere to go, and we raced a lot in Europe, whilst now we're trying to, we are more global, but we're trying to be even more global. And having two races in Italy is probably no longer feasible as well. And like you said, it is, I like Imola, but it's not for Formula One anymore. But then, if I start using that argument, how many circuits do I look at and think, well, you're no longer for Formula One anymore because you're too small of a track, really, for these this generation of car to go around? You think of all the races that we've had this season this far and how we've kind of struggled with overtaking. Are we going to just keep having this problem?
So... as of January this year, the Mexican Grand Prix could be its last. They need to negotiate for an extension. Imola and Las Vegas also fall into that pool. Baku, Kota, and Barcelona and Zandvoort all have until 2026. Zandvoort, we've already previously mentioned, might not be hanging around after that. I think it's sort of, even I think circuit director Robert van Overdijk said that while they don't receive government support, at the end of the day, they're responsible for the bottom line. And I think they can be, he has said, I think we can be proud of closing a historic chapter for Dutch sporting history, which suggests that Zandvoort really isn't hanging around at all. Marina Bay is until 2028 in Singapore, Suzuka 2029, Sao Paulo 2030, Red Bull Ring 2030 as well. Same with Abu Dhabi, Jeddah, and Shanghai. Canada's till 2031, which seems like a really long contract, but that's only 6 years. Miami is also 31. Same with Monza, same with Monaco, same with Spa. Hungary Ring 2032, Losail 2032, Silverstone 34, Bahrain 36, Albert Park 37. So, yeah, when we look at the circuits that are coming up for renewal, Mexico might be dropped. We haven't got a Mexican driver on the grid. But it has had some great races over the past few years. So it's sort of a mixed argument there.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think If I was going to look at the Canada, Mexico wouldn't be one that I would get rid of. I quite like that. It sometimes throws in challenges with the altitude as well. And obviously the other one that was close by is Las Vegas. They're not going to get rid of that after pouring so much money into it, and it's provided good racing, despite it being sort of the layout looking dull. It's not that bad.
Well, Las Vegas had an original contract for 3 years, so 2023, 2024, and 2025. But there is an option in place to extend that contract for 10 years. So that would see it go until at least 2033, rather. So there's a fair bit of space on that one. And then we do get to things like sort of Baku, which is great. And 2023, there was reports, there was the 3 year contract extension, which takes it to 2026. So after that, it will probably hang around. But it's again one of those things, if we bring in new circuits and we sort of got to go, well, what next? And obviously 2026, Barcelona will host the F1, but also the Spanish Grand Prix will move to Madrid. So we'll have two Grand Prix in Spain, but apparently Italy can't support two Grand Prix. Meanwhile, America's got three. And you sort of go, oh,
It all goes back to that we need a rotation kind of thing going on, but
It's one of those tricky questions of what do you cut, what do you keep? And I think Imola is possibly one of the most easy ones to cut. Everything else, every now and then, does have the tendency to throw out something good. Imola hasn't with the new regulations, really.
no. But then you could argue you're not going to be able to get rid of Miami because that's got such a long contract. That hasn't ever pretty really provided great racing.
But the money behind Miami is one of the reasons it's going to stick around. Imola is called the Gran Premio del Made in Italy. It's backed entirely by the Italian Tourism Board, essentially. Which it's one of those ones that as soon as they sort of go, okay, the Italy goes, all right, we'll keep the money then and do something else.
And then what was the other one that was near Renewal Kota? I don't want to get rid of Kota either. That's my favorite one after
Kota is, yeah,
birthday.
2026.
I don't want to get rid of that one either.
Yeah, that does chuck out a good race, and it will be around until the end of the 2026. So you're sort of going, oh, it's hard to sort of pick and choose. And again, the only other option is add more races, and then we get to the point where over half the weekends in the year have got a Grand Prix on them. We get to more and more triple headers, we get to more and more back-to-back weekends that are possibly too much.
I think it would be too much. I think this is just about enough now. That would be far too strenuous on everyone, I think.
But then there's discussions that maybe Thailand getting one, Malaysia, head out over that way, we bring in a circuit back there.
I think if we then put in more races, they'd then have to actually look at the calendar and be really sensible with it and say we need to do it.
In this order.
Yeah. Can't.
Improved it a bit this year, starting out in the far east of the globe and sort of working from there back towards sort of Europe, out to America, back. We still have the weird jump back and forth to do things like Canada and Miami.
Yeah, and then the other thing is increase the cost cap, allow for more employees for each team so that they have like a B team and an A team that then are on rotation about going around with whatever. I can't speak anymore.
Sort of rotating your teams through the double headers or triple headers or quadruple headers,
Yeah.
so you don't have exhausted units constantly working away. Obviously, you're going to have certain people that are going to work all the weekends, your sort of strategy coordinators, your team principals, your drivers. But I think team personnel, like your mechanics, your engineers, you can put them onto a bit of a rotation and just sort of have them sort of coming on and off as needed. But yeah, it's one of those things that we're seeing sort of changes for. In that, we did, of course, mention Barcelona and the fact that Madrid is coming for 2026 as well. Construction is now underway for the Madrid Grand Prix. And despite the notable efforts of Top Gear when they built a race circuit in Spain, this is now actual work that's breaking ground, that's laying a semi-permanent circuit. Some of it is based on the streets around an airport near Madrid, and some of it's going to be a custom-built sort of semi-circuit. So it's going to be interesting to see how it all comes together. But work has started, but that Grand Prix is probably going to come around sort of May, June time in 2026, if it is 2026. So they've got just over a
Move
year.
on.
Yeah, they've got to get a wiggle on. Otherwise, we could be rocking up to a half-built circuit, which will be very interesting. Proper throwback to the sort of 70s,
Before.
80s.
We've almost had that before, haven't we? It's just
Yeah.
It'll be fine. They'll get it done.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see
They
how
have
it goes.
to.
They've got no choice in the matter. It needs to be done. That, or simply they just won't race there for that year, and it'll be a bit of a farce, but sort of go down the pan in the same way that Vietnam did. But anyway, that's all still to come. More importantly, this weekend we're of course off to the Jeddah Corniche circuit for the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix. Sebastian Vettel has been out there with his sort of supporting female drivers charity campaign, which looks to have had some great impact and great following over the past few days. So it's great to see that he's still around on the scene and still sort of campaigning for some great things. But with that besides, it is time to sort of lunge into the main part of our sort of preview episodes, which is of course our predictions. We haven't got Timo tonight, but he has written in his predictions for the Grand Prix. So we'll kick off with pole position predictions. Ellie Mae, yours, please.
I've gone for Lando Norris. I think he'll be good around a tight street circuit.
I think the McLaren will be. I think that McLaren is pretty much untouchable, and this is something that Oscar Piastri said coming out of Bahrain. He said, "We've almost certainly got the fastest car. It's really a case of just performing now on the driver's side of things," which is a bit of a barbed statement, but an interesting one. Timo and I have once again agreed when it comes to pole position, and we've both gone for the other half of the McLaren garage, reckoning Piastri has found his form, has found his one lap quali pace, and could be on a bit of a roll. So we'll see how that goes.
Oh, he is on a roll, and I think it is a good shout. But you both have put Piastri, and I was like, I need to go for some variety here.
Can't all write the same thing, otherwise there's no point awarding the points if we all go up by 1 point. So yeah, we'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, when it comes to the podiums, we finally get a bit of variety here. Ellie Mae, we'll start with your podium predictions.
Lando Norris is gonna.
He's going to convert pole to a win.
He's going to convert that pole to a win. Then Verstappen's coming in second, followed by Leclerc, two drivers that are good around street circuits as well.
Yeah, that's a sound argument. Timo's gone for Leclerc, Piastri, Russell, which I think is interesting. Leclerc does enjoy a street circuit, but I don't know if that Ferrari is quite there yet. Piastri second, yeah, sure, whatever. And Russell third. Again, Russell's just sort of missed a consistency at the moment. He's always in that top five, and I think that's going to just sort of continue trundling along. It's going to put him in a really fun spot when it comes to championship contention. Meanwhile, I think Piastri is converting his pole to a win, maintaining his 100% record. I think Russell is coming second. Again, that consistency. And I will say, I think that the pace the Ferrari have this weekend is good. I think that Hamilton's going to be the one to really exploit it and get third place.
Maybe. I don't know. I think Russell is a good shout. I'd kind of regret not putting him down.
Was contemplating him for pole as well because I can just see him pulling out one of those wonder laps that he every now and then does. And Jeddah would be the spot for him to do that. I just don't know if the Mercedes is there enough to be able to do that. I know that Red Bull are bringing along a slight brake cooling upgrade, which, if you've noticed, the cake tins that surround the front brakes on the McLaren are very technical and very sort of unique in the way they control cooling air to the rim and thus to the tires. And I think that McLaren's ability for the past few races, and certainly the first half of this season or first part of this season, has been their ability to maintain and regulate tire temperature and stop the tires going away across the lap. And I think Red Bull have got an upgrade that is supposedly going to be moving their front end in the same direction. Whether or not it's immediately apparent is going to be the interesting thing. And it is a lot of front loading this circuit.
Do you know, I don't quite know why I think this. I probably will regret it, but I think Williams will do well around here.
It's a circuit where the driver can make a significant difference, and I think the level that Sainz and Albon are performing at suggests that they might be able to leverage something interesting from that car this weekend. I think that's certainly feeds in a bit to my wild prediction, which we'll get to, is because it's one of those circuits where a bit like Japan, where the driver makes that sort of final 1% difference, and that's where it matters. We saw that with Verstappen so accurately in Suzuka. I think we're going to see a similar effect in Jeddah.
Which is why I put Verstappen in my podium.
Yeah, because he's the driver that can make that difference, but it also really depends on how close the car is. So yeah, there's podiums, fastest laps. Timo and I again agree, Norris, because the McLaren is a rocket ship, and if Norris is in fourth and has got free air ahead of him, he's going to be able to go for that fastest lap push. But I don't think he's going to push for the fastest lap because there's no point for it. So it's just going to be something he does because he'll be second on the pit stop roster and therefore pit into free air and make a good run on a set of fresh tyres later on in the Grand Prix.
I've got, sorry, the Sonoda.
Which is an interesting call, but
Well,
if
I think that no, obviously, like you said, drivers aren't going to try for fastest lap anymore. If he's got some form of free air, maybe.
he's sort of running in about fourth through sixth, there's going to be every opportunity. He's got a bit of a gap ahead of him and is going to be able to just put together a solid lap in the Grand Prix that leads to that sort of fastest lap. I think it's an opportunity, I think, for Sonoda, and I think it could do him well. Meanwhile, wild predictions. Timo's gone for Bortoleto P12, which is quite wild,
Very
but
precise.
very precise. Yeah, he's given himself 19 points of failure there. Ellie May, you've gone for something a bit more personally optimistic.
I've gone for a Fernando Alonso top 10.
Hasn't scored points yet this season, so this would put him on the scoreboard. This would only leave Doohan and Bortoleto without points, and Lawson for that matter. Interesting. I'm curious to see if it happens, but that Aston Martin
I
looks
mean,
difficult.
yeah, I was going to say, I doubt it will because it's a very fast track and they don't
Have
have.
speed. No. We'll see how it goes. Meanwhile, I think Ollie Bearman top six.
What did you get last year? Seventh.
Yeah, in the Ferrari with no practice. And now obviously he's bedded in with the team. He's driven the circuit a bit more. He'll have had a chance to go on the sim rigs at Ferrari and properly get his eye in. He's just performing really, really well at the moment, is Bearman. I just reckon we're going to see a bit of a sort of a blinder. I'm not optimistic for how it's going to make Ocon's performance look in comparison, but I think that also Behrman's going to luck into something with strategy that allows him into that position. He's going to be in the right place at the right time to capitalize on something a bit odd and thus success.
Out of all the wild predictions, I hope that yours comes true the most.
It'd be nice to see it happen,
Thank
especially
you.
given how pleased Ollie's dad and family were when they were on the radio to him after the Bahrain Grand Prix, and they all seemed very pleased with his results there. So it'd be nice to see him sort of keep trundling forwards. He's doing all right when it comes to points at the moment as well. So where is my big points tally over here? He has currently got 5 points. No, 6 points, sorry, because he got another one in Bahrain. So he's not doing too badly. That keeps him tied with Pierre Gasly, puts him ahead of Tsunoda, importantly. Tied with Hülkenberg, ahead of Sainz, ahead of Hajar. So he's in a strong little place when it comes to that sort of tail end fight. So we'll see how he does. I can't remember why that's put him up to in the championships order now. I think he was one of those weird ones that despite scoring points, he went down. So he's down in 13th at the moment. But yeah, there we go. I think he was suffered at the hands of Pierre Gasly, who shot up from 16th coming out of Japan to 11th coming out of Bahrain, one of that weekend's big climbers.
I don't think I've known a season where so many drivers had so many points so early on.
It's certainly been a while since we've had this spread of points happen this early. It's got to be going back to like one of those sort of 2010, 2014 sort of span of races where everyone was all over the gap and we ended up with a lot of points very early on. For a lot of teams, this is also the earliest in a season they've scored points, the likes of Sauber's and Williams. It's been sort of years and years since they last scored points in the opening five rounds. So we're doing well for an exciting series. But there we go. That's our wild predictions. Our predictions as a whole out of the way. And that brings us neatly to the end of this week's podcast. It's another very short one because, well, triple headers, they don't leave you very much to talk about. So in the meantime, before we're back with a review of the Saudi Arabian Grand Prix, Ellie Mae, where can the listeners find you if they want more of your work in the meantime?
Hopefully, I will have something out on Instagram for Goodwood Members Meet. I haven't quite been able to sit down and look through my photos yet because it's been a very busy week, but hopefully they will be out soon. I hope so. Where can people find you?
Latest issue of Classic Car Weekly is out at the moment with my written coverage from members meeting, loads of my pretty pictures and fun stories that I found across the weekend in there, as well as more pictures on my social media channels at Jesse on Cars. And hopefully tomorrow I'll get a chance to edit together a little video from it as well. So that should be a good bit of fun. So yeah, it's all across the socials, and of course, pick up Classic Car Weekly, subscribe to the podcast for that. There's more content from me. We're recording again tomorrow. I need to go and do the planning for that next. So plenty of fun still to be had. Otherwise, we'll be back with a review of the action from Saudi Arabia and the Jeddah Corniche circuit. Fingers crossed, it's another Grand Grand Prix.